This is Jennifer Banco from Friday the 13th, Part 7, Texas Chainsaw 3, Barbed Wire, and 13 Fanboy, and you're listening to the Don't Go Out There podcast.
In a world where zombies, ghosts, serial killers, and vampires all exist, it's Nico, Brian, Mike, and Dustin, and they are all that stand between you and the films that could end the world. Welcome to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Podcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Don't Go Out There Horror Movie Review Podcast. I just want to thank all our fans and listeners. I really appreciate all the support. Super excited for this interview we got coming up. We are joined today by yet another legend of the business, known for her roles in Friday the 13th, Part 7, Texas Chainsaw Massacre Part 3, Barbed Wire, and most recently, the critically acclaimed 13 Fanboy, Ms. Jennifer Banco. Ms. Banco, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Oh my goodness. Thank you so much for having me. I'm doing wonderful.
Awesome. That's great. We'll go ahead and jump right into the questions. Ms. Banco, is acting something you've always wanted to do? Obviously, you got, you know, Friday Part 7 right off the bat. But before that, did you know that was in the cards for you?
I was just a super ham. I might have, like, came out of the womb acting. So I was literally, I would just try to entertain people. You know, like, if I saw a camera, like, I would go sing in front of it. Like, I didn't know who those people were. And my mom was always like, Jennifer, get back here. Jennifer, you know. It's in me. It's a part of my essence, who I am. So. My parents fought it for a second, and then finally they were just like, oh, God, okay, this isn't going to go away. Fine, we give in. Yeah. I think my dad wanted me to be like a doctor or something. You know what I mean?
I understand.
Live a quote-unquote normal life, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, you were super young, and okay, let's go ahead and just get into it. Friday 13th, Part 7, New Blood. You know, first movie you've ever even auditioned for, correct?
It was the first movie I had ever auditioned for. And I was the last person in.
Oh,
you
wow.
You never want to be the last person. You never want to be the first person in. You know what I mean? Because, like, by the end, they don't even remember you. You know, like, their thinking caps aren't even on yet. Chances are they're still shuffling papers, the first person in, you know? So you never want to be the first person in. And you never want to be the last person in because they're over it. So, like, that was, like, my first experience auditioning for a movie. I'm 10 years old, and I'm like, I'm the last person in. Wow. Like, I just sat here for, you know, all this time. And, you know, I'm like, okay, fine, whatever. So I go in the room, and I'm 10 years old, and I was just like, you know what? This is my interview. I waited all this time. I'm the last interview. Like, you know, what do I have to lose? And I asked them if I could have a minute. And they were like, yeah. And I turned around away from them and then just started bawling, tears flowing down my face. And then I turned back around and started the scene. So they remembered the last person in.
Well, can you talk a little bit about your experience working on Friday the 13th 7?
So I was really excited because I was going on location, right? And so in my contract, they have to take me to and from a set in a limousine. And I get there, I get to the airport, I'm waiting for the limousine, and up pulls a van, just a regular van, like a cargo van, with the words limousine on the side. And I was so sad. My little 10-year-old heart was broken. Later, you know, they did have a limousine. But it was, from the minute we got there, it was just one hardship after the other. Our room that we were supposed to have at our resort our rooms weren't ready. So we had to stay in this little, like, motel inn, whatever, that didn't have heat.
Wow.
So my mom is like, oh my gosh, like, my daughter's 10 years old. My husband is not too excited about, you know, me having my child, you know, do this thing anyways. you know, we're in this rundown motel. We've got a floor heater in the bed with us. We literally, you know, those things that catch on fire.
Right. Yes.
It was so cold that we like had it on the bed, and then we had the sheet, you know, over our head. And then, you know, my mom's like, "Oh my gosh, my daughter's gonna, I'm gonna have to explain this to my husband." But then the next day, we got to our resort. It was beautiful. It was everything my 10-year-old heart could have dreamed it was. And from that moment on, it was pretty amazing.
One thing I've heard you tell this story at a convention, and I would love for you to please tell our audience, but you've told a story before about Onset, about why you now call Kane Hodder your hero after a happening.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay. So the scene where the bridge collapses and I'm out in the water, they're filming me. Well, mind you, it's freezing cold outside and the movie's like summertime, right? So I'm in those little shorts, overalls, and I'm in freezing cold on, you know, in a little tiny boat. I'm freezing cold water, and the director says we need to cut the tow line. We can still see it. So they're like, it's okay. They talk to my mom. Everyone's like, it's okay. We've got the divers. They've got moccasin snakes in the water. And the day before, they had an alligator wrestler come get an alligator out of right where my little boat was.
Wow.
But everyone's like, it's okay. Let's get the shot, right? It's like super late, you know, child labor laws. And, you know, I can only be out there for an extra certain amount. So they just cut the tow line. And I start drifting downstream. I just start going away. And I just look at my mom and my eyes keep growing, you know, wider. And I'm waving. I'm like, bye, mom. Bye. Goodbye, mom.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you know, they're trying to get the divers to dive in. And the divers are like, no, like, we don't want to get in those water with those snakes. And so Kane just grabs, like, a big piece of wood and a long stick. And he throws it on the water. And he comes out and he gets me out of the boat and onto the piece of wood with him, and then why everybody else is just sitting there like, oh no, she's going downstream.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So Kane, my hero. I think everyone else was just in shock, you know?
Right.
My hero. For sure.
Yeah, one more thing, if you don't mind, about Friday the 13th Part 7.
Sure.
We actually had Laura Park Lincoln on the show as well. It's been a while, but obviously you didn't share screen time with her. But did you get to meet her? Did you guys have
to?
Did they have you mimic? So that they had you like mimic some of her traits and stuff or anything like that?
No. We got to spend some time together, and I thought it was amazing that she was an Aaron Spelling girl, you know. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, you know. And later in life, when I ended up signing my 3-year $1 million developmental deal with Aaron Spelling, I was like, oh my gosh, it's like, you know, everything's reflecting after like playing Lar in Friday the 13th. So I kind of like held on to like a little piece of her like my whole life, if that makes sense.
Right.
But I think the coolest thing, other than the fact that I thought she was so beautiful and she was so nice to me, and it was so nice of her to take that time, you know, to introduce herself and sit and talk to me a little bit and ask me about myself. And we even had the same bottom tooth, like out of line with our other teeth.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just thought that was the coolest thing ever, right?
Absolutely.
So I would say that's my most vivid memory. I was 10. You know what I mean? A tooth out of line. Oh, that's what I remember most.
It's funny what we remember from our childhood.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 real quick. You made Fangoria magazine for that role.
And that is like if somebody was going to ask me like what I'm most proud of, that's it. Making Fangoria magazine. I was just like,
oh yeah, that's awesome.
Besides, I was 12. You know, and I'm just like, I thought that was the most amazing thing ever.
That's super cool. Can you just touch on your role in the original ending and how all of it got changed?
Yeah, so in the original ending, Leatherface was supposed to get killed. I was supposed to come back as the killer in the next one, But instead of me wearing the leather face, it was supposed to be Sally, my doll.
Wow.
And she would be the one more responsible for the killing. Sally did it. You know what I mean? I was going to blame myself. Sally was going to do the killings. And they just got so much flack for it. And then there was, you know, a killing scene that I had, which they took out the whole, like, me fighting, you know, with the family to let me kill this one, you know. There was a whole scene of me fighting to, please let me kill him. So they took all that out. It kept getting rated X. And they needed to get an R rating.
Right.
To be able to get into theaters. So I read an article years later. I didn't realize, like, what a big deal it was. And I read this article, and I wish I would have saved it. And this lady was just ripping apart my character and how, like, she basically, like, just didn't have a conscience. And, like, all of, like, people really got deep with it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now I feel like nowadays it would be fine, you know?
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't get an X rating nowadays for.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I think it was like a little before its time. And
yeah,
I mean, I was a really intense kid. So maybe if some other little kid, you know, had done the role with, like, that had more innocence left in them at 12, you know, at 12, I had already seen a lot of life that little kids don't see.
Right. Right.
You know? So maybe they wouldn't have tapped into such the dark side of it. I don't know.
Well, then it wouldn't have been as believable. So,
like, this bitch is evil. I'm like,
we'll just go
I'm a
with
tween, okay?
We'll just I go with it was before tween. It's time. So, hey, before you get into 13 Fanboy, I mean, you've got a ton of TV credits to your name over the last 30 years. I mean, what do you find the biggest difference in shooting for TV versus shooting for movies? I mean, do you have a preference?
So one of the biggest differences, okay, so, like, when you're filming a movie, you can relight things. You can move the camera angles. You can do things like that. You can do master shots and close-ups, and sometimes you don't even do those in the same day. But when you're doing something like a soap opera, you're doing, like, 6 episodes in a day.
Wow.
Like, 6. You're doing one take. One take. That's it. There's 3 cameras, one for the master shot, and then there's 2 close-up cameras. And that's it. One move and done. So it's kind of like boot camp for actors, you know? It's like the military of acting. It's no joke, you know, and then they're giving you your scripts, you know, they have the courier come and bring you your script, and it'll be like one color, the whole script. And then, you know, by the time you actually film, you've got a rainbow colored script. And then a lot of times when you're doing soap operas, you'll get on set and they change the whole scene that you're about to do.
Wow.
And sometimes you're doing, like, you'll do like 6 episodes in a day, and you're doing 3 scenes from one episode and 3 scenes from another episode. You know, like, it's really hard. It's hard.
So I take it movies you enjoy better? Or it's just different?
It's just different.
I get that.
There's no craft service. You know what I mean? There's, like, no craft table. Like, nobody's allowed on set. Like, when you're filming a movie or, like, a normal TV show, you know, you can have your family come by for lunch. You can have your friends stop by. It's not like that on a soap opera. You know?
I gotcha. Okay.
It is just get down to business, get it done, get the next one out, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get into it. At this point, 13 Fanboys released. We've actually had Kane, we've had Laura, we've had Deborah Voorhees on before this released. So there was very little we could really ask about the plot or anything like that. I mean, you're our first cast member after it came out. Can you start us off? How'd you become involved in this 13 Fanboy thing?
So, fans started reaching out to me.
Awesome.
And they were like, this is happening and you need to do this. And I'm like, oh, okay. And then they're like, no, like, you need to do this. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be like, hey, lady, can you put me in your movie? So then I start getting messages from her, like, I left you a message here and I never heard a response, and now I'm trying here and hopefully I get a response. And I was like, wait, what? And Deborah's just amazing. She is just a beautiful, she's a magical, magical soul. She's a really, really neat person. And so we just talked, and she had some ideas, and I agreed to, I told her I would love to be a part of her vision and her project and anything that I could do that, you know, to help bring her vision to life, but I'm down, I'm in.
Right.
So, absolutely. And so basically I was just like, however I can help, I want to be there. So, it's actually really, it was really special moment because my dad, my papa wasn't really allowed to be on set and stuff with me growing up for one reason or another. And he asked too many questions and my mom was embarrassed of him because wanted to know how everything worked. So she wouldn't let him come. So this time we shot on location in New Mexico and my papa came with me and he got to ask all of his questions and I was proud of him wanting to know how things work and be a part of my day and our day. And it was super amazing to have that experience with my dad, you know.
Right, absolutely.
Show him my world, and you know, it was special for him. Like, he was just like, wow, like, you're your authentic self right now. Like, I've never seen you like this. So it was a cool experience for that as well. We didn't know, like, we didn't know what anybody's scenes were going to be like, because Deborah didn't even want us to know what was going on.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody was able to get a full script. So she kept it even hush hush, which is pretty amazing. It was just such an amazing experience. I mean, from the moment we were picked up from the airport, just laughing and having just the best time. Everybody was just so amazing. Like, my dad and I started looking at, like, properties in New Mexico, you know? Like, that's how wonderful and welcoming the whole thing experience really was.
That's how it's supposed to be, you know? That's what it's supposed to be about. So that's fantastic.
Yeah. And then one day my dad bought pizza for the cast and crew, which was super sweet, you know?
Right.
It was just one of those days. Time was getting away from everyone, you know? So he bought pizza so everyone could kind of like eat on the go and continue on. And yeah, it was a really awesome experience.
Well, good. That definitely sounds genuine. And, you know, speaking of genuine, you know, I don't want to give too much away for those who have not seen the movie. But I did pretty much die laughing when Kane has this, has his quote unquote scene, you know, and tells you not to yell at him because he's right in front of you. That's so Kane Hodder too. It just seems like.
Right. So Kane just starts going off, right? Like, a lot of that stuff wasn't even in the script, right? So Kane, that part was, but Kane just kind of starts going off on his little tangent. And I'm crying for real. And I'm crying so freaking hard, okay? But I'm like, so if you watch it again, like, watch me like, I'm like, because I'm trying to allow him to have his scene, because I'm crying the kind of tears where normally you're like, and I am like, that will ruin his scene. You got to hold it in. So,
Well, that's what I was going to say. Like, the rest of his speech was so moving, and it felt like that was just so grounded in reality. So, like,
it was true story.
Right.
You know, about his dad. And yeah. So I'm like, don't overpower his scene with your ugly cries. But
Well, you didn't ruin the scene. You couldn't tell that you were crying.
That I was holding back.
No, you couldn't tell. And y'all's relationship did really seem genuine as well. I mean, you guys really had some very good on-screen chemistry because you had such a good relationship off, I'm sure. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, he remembers nothing from the past. So apparently, like, he was my hero and my everything, and I was nothing to him. So there's that. Talk to him about that one. He's like, I did that? Really? I'm like, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
It's okay.
Jennifer, I have a fun question for you. It's not Friday the 13th related, but Saw is my favorite horror franchise, and I've heard a rumor that it's yours as well. What's your favorite entry in the franchise and why?
I don't even know which ones are which. I understand. Okay, so for me, no disrespect to anybody's work or anything that I've done or anybody, but like, okay, it's a mask guy, like, okay, really? But some crazy ass twisted motherfucker, that I believe, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Am I allowed to say those things?
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Hell yeah. Let that shit fly.
Who knows? It's just, I don't know. They just hit like just so much like home, just so much more real to me. You know?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That some there could, you know, I don't know. I don't know. The mask thing, the Nightmare on Elm Street thing, like none of that ever really, I was never really scared. Saw scared the shit out of me.
I get it.
You know? Like I know that guy's out there. I don't know what his name is, you know, or what city lives, but that basic form of a person is out there somewhere. So yeah, they're so good. It's so good. It's so twisted.
Oh, yeah. Saw 6 is my favorite, personally. Do you have a favorite trap from the franchise?
No. I never really thought about it like that, you know? I don't know.
Because I feel like a lot of people get enamored with the traps, but I feel like they're just a plus one to the story. I really love the story.
It means to an end. Yeah. No, I mean, and it's when you're almost like feel bad for the bad guy sometimes, like that's the good, you know?
Yeah.
When some of what he's doing makes a little bit of sense to you, that's like when it's really good, you know, when it's got you thinking all crazy.
Yeah, it really does make you question a lot of things because you're like, you feel bad for the people getting killed, but it's like, they're really not a good person.
No. Bye. Next. No, I'm just kidding.
Tell us how you really feel. I'm just kidding.
I know. I'm like thinking to myself, I'm like, I don't have any empty properties. Don't go looking. I'm not in a basement somewhere. Just kidding.
Jennifer, do you have anything coming up or anything you're working on you'd like to plug or maybe just plug your social medias?
I've booked for two conventions next year, but I can't talk about them because they haven't announced me yet. So I can't announce myself before they announce me. And then I've signed three non-disclosure letters, and I've committed to one of them. So I will be doing another movie coming up this next year. But I signed a non-disclosure, so I don't even know if I'm allowed to talk about any of it. I know that's like so I don't talk about what the script's about, but so I do have things coming up. Things are happening. So I'm part of this really big, like, beautiful community that has like allowed me into their community, and they are all very creative, artistic people. They are absolutely positively amazing. And when COVID hit, they started doing these parties in their backyard. Every other Wednesday they were having live comedy, and every other Thursday they were having live music. So, you know, the cops are really cool. They show up at 10. How are you guys? Okay, now you got to shut it down, you know? And so what they've done is these these events have been sponsored by Dry Men Products, by Man Butter, by Honeybee Creations, by Four Sons Brewing, by Elixicure, which are all part of this community. All the people that, you know, have these products are part of this community. And now they started a YouTube channel where now they're starting to upload the videos from the comedy nights and the live music nights. So if you go to YouTube and just put in the HB Patio, the HB Patio will show up. And that's what it is. And if you guys, you know, like, subscribe, I'll do all that stuff, share the videos and whatnot. And you might even see some Jenna sightings in her natural habitat. It's my happy place. It's such a beautiful thing. Like, all of these people, their purpose in life is to, you know, bring people joy and happiness. And, man, it's amazing. So, now you guys can be a part of it, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I just feel like you should always support your friends and support people that are doing stuff. And, yeah, you know, everyone's working really hard to bring each other up. Like, it's just a beautiful community. So.
Right. Well, and thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And hopefully, you know, with some of these other projects that you can't talk about, maybe, you know, we'd love to have you back on when you can talk about them.
And I'm also now a badass. I do jujitsu now, by the way. I'm doing my first competition on Saturday. So
what?
If you don't hear from me after that, it means I died.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
I've been doing it for a month and a half, and I'm like, YOLO.
Oh, well, hell yeah. Let's go. Okay.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm super excited. All right, guys. Well, you are wonderful and patient and kind.
We'll use Zoom next time.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I'll just.
All right, guys.
All right, thank
you
so much.
Have a beautiful, wonderful day. Thank you. Bye.
And I just want to remind everybody to don't go out there. When the hands of fate fall on the midnight hour behind this mountain.